Fury Unleashed is brought to you by Live Oak Vodka. No matter what is thrown our way, Texans have a way of not only surviving, but rising above it. Call it determination. We have the heart of a mighty oak. That mighty oak can be found in the spirit of Live Oak Vodka, Texas's only handmade vodka. Check them out now at CoastalBendDistilling.com. Live Oak Vodka, baby. Let's go. Today's podcast is brought to you by Howlerhead Whiskey. You can check them out at Howlerhead.com, a handcrafted award-winning 80-proof Kentucky straight bourbon. And listen, damn it, it's got the flavors of banana. You like MMA? You like Dana White? You like the UFC? Let's support them, baby. Get the bourbon. Get the Howlerhead Whiskey, the only whiskey you will find at Fury Fighting Championships. Howlerheadwhiskey.com, Howlerhead.com.
And now, Houston, Texas, make some noise, because the time for talk is over. It's time to unleash the fury!
Alright, so, what's up, boys?
What is this?
How are we?
It's like super light.
It's Sprite and Howlerhead whiskey.
Sprite with a dash of Howler?
No, we had shot size four.
It was equal.
It was equal.
That's how much we drank of a brand new bottle already up here.
Nuts.
Oh, the voice of Fury today decided to be the sleepyhead of Fury today.
Woo.
Coming in late and hot. You can hear the enthusiasm right now. Man.
Hey, look, I haven't talked about it on a podcast, but I've talked with you about it.
Yeah.
We had a small victory in court yesterday with our HOA bullshit, and it's only a matter of time until the assholes are gone. So
did you guys go celebrate
last
night?
Yeah, me and the secretary went out and celebrated a little bit last night. So shout out to the homeboy MW. He probably doesn't want his name out there.
You gotta be careful celebrating with the secretary's guests.
Yeah, for sure.
Now listen, if your secretary happens to be a dude, celebrate.
Yeah. And you know, he is.
Unless your dude will get upset, then don't celebrate. You know, like, do what you gotta do.
Yeah, significant other for presence. So yeah, we're all good. We're all in the clear.
Hey, some big news this week in MMA. Did you guys see PFL bought Bellator?
For like how many times has this happened? It feels like.
So it's
like the last couple of months. Yeah. It seems like there's like always like this leak. There's this pin. Oh, it's done. It's a done deal. And yeah, you don't hear anything. I guess now it's finally official. The ink is dry on the contract.
Yeah, they finally came out and all parties talked about it. It's kind of interesting. If you were to put a number on what you thought you would pay to buy Bellator, what would you guess? Like, can you like give me a number?
$40 in a bottle of Howler.
What does Dana say? Who would want to buy Bellator?
I'm with Dana on that.
I'm going to think
about 10 mil.
Do you think they bought? Oh yeah.
What are they buying? They're buying, I mean, like
the catalog,
some
right?
cages and, you know,
the roster.
Maybe some lights, the contracts of the roster, you know, whatever assets they have, intellectual property. You know, the video library is probably going to be the most valuable thing they own. I mean, I wouldn't think.
What TV deal did they have?
Five or less.
So they were Viacom, and they were, I forget the channel they were on.
Showtime.
Yeah.
And Showtime's like out of the combat sports game.
Yeah.
So that's not even a factor.
They paid zero monies for it.
Oh, fuck.
And the report.
Why didn't we buy it?
They got something. They got something in the neighborhood. It's an all stock deal. So they basically purchased or resold them their own stock coming over to PFL, basically. What's interesting.
We'll buy you for potential.
The PFL. So, and listen, this is all what they're stating right now. No one has been laid off. There's something like 200 employees, 201 people on Bellator under contract, fighters, which we have a bigger roster than Bellator. And then there is all of their employees are staying. They're trying to get Scott Coker to stay right now. And the idea is that, you know, the PFL, it's a totally different structure. You don't know who you're fighting outside of a few events they do where they put fighter versus fighter. For the most part, you go into a tournament and you don't know who you're fighting until after you win.
Right.
So what they want to do is use Bellator as like an international type of deal and then have those people come over and compete. But the first fight they're looking to make is Cyborg and Kayla Harrison, which is a very interesting fight if this was 10 years ago and Cyborg was not 57.
Cyborg is like 70 years old at this point.
Yeah. Cyborg was still on top and hadn't lost and got knocked out, et cetera.
But isn't that kind of like the most Bellator thing? I mean, that's what they do.
They get the ones that have already been.
Yeah. They're the WCW of the MMA world. Burping?
Yeah, for sure.
Are you burping?
No.
I smell sausage on one of y'all motherfuckers.
Well, it ain't me because I ain't had shit but whiskey this morning.
That would be Diego.
Diego, what kind of sausage? I thought you went to the Asian spa.
Duck sausage.
At Chapel Hill.
Chapel Hill sausage this morning?
Jesus.
Sorry.
Yeah, you know, Bellator has always been looked at as the place you kind of go after your UFC career.
Yeah.
Or it's your place you're going if you're just not ready for the UFC.
Or the place you go when you're rushing.
There's a handful.
They'll pick you up quick.
There's a handful of names out there that I think, man, I would love to see Chris Brennan's kid. Is it Tyler Brennan? Which one of his, I forget, Lucas. Maybe it's Lucas Brennan.
Lucas.
I think he's 6-0 or 7-0.
No, but against what kind of opposition? Has he fought?
He's fought Bellator's opposition, like which is not UFC quality competition. And it was funny today that the PFL's COO, I forget his, again, this will tell you how much I've invested I am in the PFL. I don't even know the guy's name.
Scott Coker.
Nope.
The executive committee.
Yeah, this dude talks about how like they're on the UFC's radar and that Dana's scared to mention their name. Dana's worried.
PFL guy.
If you're on Dana's radar, it's because he's got a nuke he's getting ready to launch at you.
He was on Ariel Helwani and he was talking some shit that Dana never mentioned them because he wasn't worried about it. And now that they started imposing a threat, Dana mentions them very often.
I haven't heard Dana say much about him.
Not that I pay that much attention. But
for everyone sitting here. Outside of Kayla Harrison, can you name one PFL champion?
Nope.
I mean, Rafion was at once.
But he's not now.
Right.
And did Ryan Bader win that round robin thing they were doing for the heavyweight title? I mean, I'm trying to wager a guess, and I'm trying to give you the level of, you know, knowledge of Bellator that most people probably have.
How invested the average fan is.
They did a thing, right?
And we actually give a shit about this industry.
Mm-hmm.
And most people couldn't tell you probably five fighters on their roster. So Dana's right. Like, why would you buy either? Now, the PFL clearly has some dough behind them. You can see what they do, the tournaments they do. I love the idea of a tournament. I think it's cool.
They must be good friends with the Saudi prince.
I couldn't tell you a champion on the PFL roster.
How crazy is that?
Like, I don't know any...
But they have
no offense to them. I mean, they got a solid product. It looks good, and if they want to spend the money,
they've got
to
deal with ESPN.
I got the hospitals, baby. Hey,
I got the wave runners, man.
I got the hospitals.
Hey, shout out to Space City Collective for the Yeezy 700s on both of our feet.
Those are not on my feet.
I've got my own bought and paid for.
Don't even bother.
Jordan.
They're wearing Popeye
11s.
What you doing, Diego?
Boom.
Hey, shout out
the first podcast we did. You could totally see our feet. I was wearing like my dad's slippers. We've got to like raise our feet up to get them in the shot. Diego's cropped in on us. The
podcast has definitely changed. It's grown, even though
we're close to 50.
Are we?
Yes. This is our 45th, I think.
Close to 50 followers? All right. Yes.
That's 11. We've done more. That's 11.
Yes. Yeah, you got to be specific, pal. Come on, man.
Officially, it's 50.
It's been cool, man. But hey, today's show, it's a little different since we've recapped last event. Next week, we'll talk about 12-3, which, man.
Yeah, December 3rd, we got a banger of a card. Oh, my God.
So yesterday,
we're saving that for next week, right?
So yesterday, I posted the Miles Banks and Robles preview.
That's a bad promo.
Dude, I got 20 messages saying, this should be the main event. This should be the main event. Well, listen, I love you both,
right,
all you guys, from the idea of the people, but their records don't allow for it.
Yeah.
1-0 guy, 3-0 guy.
Yeah.
That's not a main event at Fury.
We need a few more fights.
Now, that's actually the opener. Actually, that wouldn't even be on the main card, but because it's that high stakes of a heavyweight fight.
Because it's those freaking guys.
There's exceptions to every rule. You go back and you look at...
We do what we want.
Look at Wendy and Kara.
Eric is the Bobby Brown of MMA promoters.
Do we want.
Normally that would not be...
It's prerogative.
...be the opener for a fight pass card, but... They're anomalies. 115-pound females who are fucking good.
Wow. How many views? Son of a gun.
Yeah. Off the chart. Isn't it crazy how the female MMA views, like when we look at our YouTube page, just get amazing.
Amazing.
I want to say, that fight posted by itself yet?
I want to say Olivia Bearley has like the highest viewed.
Yeah.
That it's either that one or it was the, there was another, I can't remember the female fight that it was another one. That
could have been like me and Kara.
A couple hundred. It might, yeah. I think it is. Yeah. I think it's like 200 something thousand views on it so far. For, that was an amateur fight.
I know.
That wasn't even like a pro fight.
Cheers.
It was a pro level fight. So,
Mia Grau making her pro debut. 12-3, by the way.
Slammed with, messages about that and the main event. I'll be dropping the main event promo today. And man, I'm excited for 12-3. This has been a crazy year. So it was just yesterday we were going through, Eric and I went through the last like 3 years of contender series and, and call ups. It's been insane. Mm-hmm. There's been so many people in the last 3 years that we were forgetting guys, and until we went back and started looking at the cards, like holy shit, I forgot this dude actually got called up and got
shot. Not everybody made it from contenders to the UFC,
right?
But just getting to contenders was
you got the opportunity. I mean, a lot of guys have gotten the opportunity.
Jacob Silva twice,
yeah.
Leo Manna twice,
yeah.
Listen, when you look at the overall number of fighters, and you look at the number of fighters that go to contender series, it's not a lot. I know it seems that there's 10 weeks of shows.
It's only five fights per week,
man. Like that's really in the grand scheme of things, not a lot. Not a lot.
If you look at it, it's 50 fights, and some of our cards have 20.
Yeah.
So that's less than three events.
That's for insane.
Us, you know,
we're totally outperforming the UFC. It's hard. Yeah.
Shout out to Uncle Dana. We're on your heels, Uncle Dana.
Yeah. Hey, he doesn't mention us because we're not on his radar, but he's going to start mentioning us soon, right? Or however that went.
You know, it's he knows who we are.
He does.
That's a cool thing.
Yeah.
You go back and you look at, you were the first promotion to have. We had him two times out in 1 year come out for Contender Series.
That was pretty cool.
Dana White's looking for a fight, yeah.
Yeah, we've had
it. We need to do that again.
Yeah, man. Hey, 12-3 would be a great card for that, man.
It would have been because they're in Austin.
It's too short notice, but golly, man.
But, I mean, we could have Mick looking for a fight.
I mean, we're talking about
doing
Fury. Ozzy.
We all know Rich Burmaster has Dana White's phone number. Dude, just shoot him a text, man.
I do. He's not going to respond.
Hey, I'm sure. Hey, look at this, bro.
I'd be willing to bet he's changed that number since the last time I've texted.
Yeah, I don't think Dana ever changes his number.
Hey, all right. Hey, I got a quick test to figure out whether or not it's the same number.
Yeah.
Just shoot him a picture of one of our ring car girls in her sheath underwear gear. And be like, hey, Dana, I miss you. And see if you get a response.
Yeah.
You get it, boom. Yeah. Oh, hey, by the way, yeah, of course you can come party. But here's the thing. We got a fight on December 3rd. Come out and see it.
Come see me on December 3rd.
I've got fixes for all this stuff, guys.
We've been talking about it, and I think this is a good opportunity. You know, we've been talking about taking us four out to some other shows. And do like a Fury looking for a fight type of deal.
Yeah, we did a test run with that.
Yeah, we did. Diego failed us miserably.
Yeah, I mean, golly,
absolutely garbage.
I can't do
Diego that. Had you holding that fucking
man
mic on your lap.
I think we were sharing one too, weren't we?
I think we were.
We were like lip to lip. Like okay,
that's not gonna work.
All right,
the effort was there.
This is audio.
The effort was there.
Like, so let's get rid of that.
You know, hey, shout out to Paradigm for having us out, man. Great seats, man. We were right there. All the guys getting knocked out, falling through the ropes damn near in our laps. That was pretty cool. But we should do some more of that.
Yeah, I'm working on some pretty cool stuff for us to check out and do. The problem
have to be dedicated.
Man, here's the hard thing. How do you get to another person's show when we have so fucking many?
That's a good point.
Like,
and when Eric has pissed off so many other promoters, you know, I mean, how do you
blame him? When you look at, I'd be pissed off too if you sucked. when you look at
what an a-hole
our schedule. I was trying to yesterday, like some behind the scenes, pull back the curtain a little bit for people. I'm over there, with Eric. I'm like, man, listen, let's add a show here. And then we start looking at it, we're like, fuck, dude, that's like six straight weeks again. That's to start off the year. We already. Every weekend in February, we have an event.
Yeah. Once we get kicking in on the 15th of January, it's like,
I got to take vacation days, huh?
February. Yeah. You're probably going to need to
just quit your job.
Just quit, Diego.
I could retire early.
You're going to have to.
Hey, you know, you're probably going to have to.
You insulate in the trailer, we're fucking retired. That's going to be your house first.
Hey, we're going to be.
For real. I'm this close.
You should look out soon for some amazing announcements coming your way.
Yeah.
There's some big things going on behind the scene that I think are going to not cement us as the one of the top. I think we already are the top regional promotion. Listen, as much as I dislike them and I don't care about their success, and I hope they all, you know, forget how to read. LFA is a fucking good promotion.
Like, they have great stuff.
They have great fights. They have great fighters. They're very well ran. The shows, do we sit back and watch their shows? Like, mm-hmm. They're fucking good.
I don't watch
like,
that shit.
They're good, man.
Like, I don't watch that shit.
They have set the bar very, very high for other promotions.
That's the residual McMaynard effect.
It is.
It is.
But I do also believe that we're surpassing that bar. And we're surpassing it faster than they set the bar.
Mm.
And when you look at what we've done in 3 years versus like they're at a show, they just did their 172.
Yeah, I remember when Nick 50 sold, was a big deal.
He was at Legacy what?
60, it's 61 or 63. I don't remember exactly. I think it was 61. I could be 63.
And that was in?
15?
16.
16, yeah.
So it's been almost 8 years.
In 8 years, they've done 172 shows. Listen, that's a lot of fucking shows.
Yeah, it is.
It's a lot of shows. It's a lot of hard work. It's a lot of grind.
They're averaging about 25 a year.
They have a tremendous matchmaker in Mark Beery. Mark Beery is a good dude. Like he's very good at his job.
Golly, Rich Burmaster doesn't like give anybody props. Hey, this guy must be really fucking good.
Beery's great. He's not better than what we're doing at Fury. I just want to make sure, like it's not. When you look at the events and what they do, again, I no longer see LFA as this. LFA is a worldwide brand. Like they're doing fucking shows
Brazil
every year.
Yeah, shout
like
out,
like they're.
When are we going to Brazil?
When are we go to Puerto Rico?
Probably not.
Eric had a perfect opportunity to give me a zinger about my passport that I still don't have. I totally set you up for that.
So, but I do think in a short amount of time, I don't think there's anyone above us. I don't look at LFA as a promotion that's above us. You can get just as much, if not more, exposure at a Fury show as you can at any other brand. And we will also keep you busier than any other brand. You go back and you look at Combate, look at LFA, look at CFFC, look
ooh,
at whoever.
Combate, is that still a thing?
They're still doing – they're in the barrio or something. I don't know what they're doing something. So, but you go look at their shows, and yeah, they do some shows. But how often are their fighters fighting?
Right. Yeah, that's a big thing, man. Like if you're not able to fight four times a year, what's the point?
You know? If you are a healthy fighter, meaning you're not injured,
four times.
We can keep you busier than anybody.
I think so, yeah. I believe so.
There's guys who've been through two contracts in 12 months.
Mm-hmm.
It's fucking insane. Huh. It's insane. But it happens.
You just got to say yes.
You got to say yes.
Yeah.
And we are only going to present to you opportunities that are beneficial to you and us. There's no benefit for you to come and lose for us.
No.
Like the benefit is for you to come and win.
Do we get rich off of those guys, man? What are you talking about?
Yeah. Yeah. I think people.
Jeez,
forget.
Diego, somebody give this man a refill.
Jesus,
I got a DD.
You got some ice?
Hey, oh, you bartender.
Hey, shout out to Howlerhead Whiskey for my amazing Howlerhead Whiskey cup that I stole.
Yeah,
I think that was this the second invitation that we did. I stole this? Something like that.
That was pretty cool.
Yeah. Hey, speaking
they
of
gave
which,
you that, you didn't steal it.
Oh no, I stole this. Who? Tex said I could have it. He's not.
Tex. Good old Tex.
He said I can have it.
Throw Diego's cup over for me. I don't want to reach across all the stuff.
I'm going to need a little ice,
electronics
too,
electronics here.
Hey, a little. Yeah, Wayne, bartender. Since you
need a little ice, Wayne.
Yeah, this is my.
This is his punishment for being late.
What do they call that in the Catholic Church? Your penance or whatever? This is my penis.
Penis?
This is my penis.
This is your penis.
In the Catholic Church, huh?
Hey, we've also got.
Shout out to the Pope.
We got a busy December still to go. Like, we got 12-3. And then damn, Diego.
God damn it, Diego.
And then we've got
I'd lick that off.
Then we got can I get some ice cream, sir? Yeah. And then we have a 12-9, the invitational.
12-10 now.
12-10, I'm sorry. 12-10.
12-10.
I'm looking forward to that. It's going to be exciting, man.
Yeah.
Do you need help with that? You guys need help?
A lot of the matchups being announced already.
Yeah, did you see our guy Big Dan got a matchup announced yesterday?
Yeah, with Victor Hugo. Ooh, dude. We tried to make that at Submission Hunter.
What's happening? At your Fight Pass Invitational?
Yeah. Yeah.
That little thing y'all do on the side?
Yep.
With your side bitch?
side bitch.
Fight Pass Invitation is awesome.
Yeah, it really is, man. Like, you know what's funny? I know, did you listen? I mean, I'm sure you listened to our last podcast.
Look at that.
Where I was talking about.
Has it dropped yet?
Yeah.
We just recorded it a couple of days ago. Man. I feel like we were just here.
Hey, that's okay. Listen, this morning I text Eric and I'm like, what the fuck? The podcast just dropped?
Last night you did.
Last night I was like, and I'm sitting on my couch. I'm like, damn, man.
Recorded it on Friday.
You know what? He reminded me.
Bro, it's only been 3 days.
And I wrote back and I was like, oh, yeah. Guess I'm just pissy. Whatever, just man. Like,
yeah,
I was
2 day turnaround.
I was sitting at home. I was like, damn, all right. I guess this was a couple of days. What am I doing here? I don't know where I was going with that originally.
We could have done this on Thanksgiving, guys. That'd been awesome. We could have
turkey.
Turkey and Howard.
Show up all drunk to you.
Yeah.
Dude, that'd be perfect. Perfect. I'd love to do that. Hey,
I was trying to stall so Rich could gather his thoughts and get back on track where he was.
I wanted to make sure that so right now we're doing some nominations for amateur and pro fights of the year, fighter of the year, knockout of the year, sub of the year. I'm not doing an event of the year this year. That's just we've had too many good ones to do that. Yeah. But I kind of want to just talk about some. You don't have to give me your vote right now.
No.
We're just going to kind of table and talk a little bit about some of the fighters who've had amazing years. And I want to start off with Olivia Bearley.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, she went 4-0 with 3 title defenses, 2 finishes, and a fighter of the year candidate with Madison Gwynn.
And she's a brick shithouse.
That was a great fight.
That was an amazing fight. James Ramon.
James. Mm-hmm.
Whatever, man. Whatever. 4-0. 3 finishes.
These are all Emmys that are just, about to break into the pro rank.
These are the Emmys, dude.
About to break into the pro rank.
What about Joe Hendershot? 3-1. 3 finishes. Including a beautiful guillotine over my son Devin Jones.
Devin, who was our guest on our last podcast.
But Damian Aronde.
I mean,
look at this one.
That's behind the scenes, like he's
Diego. What the fuck are you doing right now? Rich is trying to guide us through this segment. He's over here like showing porn to Eric.
So I'm saying,
can we stay into the segment, Diego?
We're doing a thing already.
So looking at Beerley's YouTube fights,
look at that.
Got 44K and then 120K.
Yeah, look at that Live Oak Vodka over there, Diego, sponsoring this segment.
Pour some of this in there.
So, like, we talked about them. We talked about those guys. Who are some other, you know, amateur fighters that kind of come to your mind who've had big years this year? You brought one guy up.
Well, goddamn, man, he just like went through all the best ones.
Who did I bring up?
Jaden McKinnon.
Oh yeah, Jaden's a beast, man.
Yeah. Jaden McKinnon.
I think Jaden's debut was probably one of my favorite fight of the year as far as amateurs. It was a great fight.
I'm extremely biased when I say this, but I think your nephew, Laz Garcia, okay, man, 2-0, two 1-minute fights.
I like that.
Two 1-minute fights for him was awesome to see.
That's because his uncle gave him easy fights.
Ooh.
Well, shout out to his opponents who are listening.
I'm fucking with Eric. Man.
When I think about the amateur fighters, though, I do take their opposition into consideration.
For sure.
You know, if there's two guys that are both 2-0, and one of them fought two guys with winning records, and one of them fought two guys with losing records, the guy who had the performance with the guys with the winning records is over.
Man, our 145. I'm gonna give you some names right now.
I mean, McKinnon beat 3-1 Oliver Cortez
as
a 1-0, and then his debut fight with Nathan Harris. I mean, Nathan didn't back down. It was back and forth. Go watch that fight, y'all, on YouTube. Jaden McKinnon versus Nathan Harris.
When you look at these guys, and I'm really excited. Again, I'm biased for our 145 division as they go pros in the next year. Oh, let's say the next year.
It's going to be crazy.
Listen to these names who are going to be pros in the next year. Brian James.
Yeah.
Josh Thomas. Is it Thomas Thompson?
Thomas.
Joe Hendershot.
Yep.
You're looking at Devin Jones, possibly. Chris Castillo, maybe.
I don't know.
Just those five names. Yeah. One of those five names is going to go to the UFC. Now that I haven't even said the guy I think.
Definitely will be the last two.
I think Damon Arande is the lock to go to the UFC.
Yeah. Man. I see it too, man.
I mean, he's 25. Whitney?
Which makes me
25.
I really hope we get a few fights out of him before he gets called up.
He took a break of 7 years.
Damon Arande is a beast.
7 years and comes back.
In the waiting, man.
And fights the guy who I think is probably the best 45er walking in the state, and that's Joe Hendershot.
Yeah.
Like, Joe Hendershot comes out, and he finished Damon Arande. If you watch
Devin Jones,
you watch these last few fights,
but he lost to Brian James.
Like, MMA math does not add.
Oh my god! Like, yeah.
It doesn't make any sense.
That's what makes this so much fun, dude.
Yeah, for sure. And then you go to the when we start talking about like subs of the year, fights of the year, those are a little bit harder. I think, you know, in the front running for fight of the year for the amateurs, I've got Madison Gwynn and Olivia Bearley. Like, that was a barn burner, five-round title fight. Eric brought up, was it Jaden McKinnon and
Nathan Harris?
God, that was back and forth.
Okay, hey, real quick, going back to featherweights, can you imagine if Kyle Todrick was still in the amateurs?
Exactly! Kyle's
barely about to make his pro debut.
I didn't bring him up because of his pro debut.
How fucking awesome would Kyle versus Damian would have been?
How about Kyle versus Joe in the mix?
Oh, dude.
I'd want to see Kyle versus Joe to see who's going to come out on top.
They cross.
So going back to this, you got to see a live regional show.
Hey, we didn't.
Got to see it.
We didn't even mention, I think, the dark horse, Zeke Cates.
Yeah, Zeke.
He's 4-1. I think he's 4-1 fight, and he's got that long ass.
So him and Joe are fighting for the title.
Yeah,
and Joe's going pro after that. I talked to Morano yesterday. This should be it for him.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah, you're like throwing names out there, and it's like, oh yeah, I remember that was a while. We haven't seen him in a while.
It's hard, man. Listen,
Are y'all having watch parties together?
I got this whiteboard in my office that just has lists of guys, and I'm like,
send me a screenshot of that so I can keep up with you two assholes,
man. I started a list the other day, and it was basically the top fighters in each division who were under 30. And after you and I talked and you were like, maybe we should change this, I started thinking, damn, I didn't even take into consideration guys like Tony Toro.
Yeah.
Fucking monster. Like Josh Olivan. Josh Olivan, yep. he's had his first defeat. He's gonna start whoever he fights next. Like these are guys who are so young in their career that I didn't even rank them.
I can't wait until the world knows who the fuck Josh Olivan is. It's coming.
That kid's a monster, dude.
He is.
That kid's an absolute monster. So when we go to the pro side, this was so hard. When you think about your pro fighter of the year, who comes to first off your mind, Diego? Who comes to the top of your head?
Think Estevez. Pretty good.
Loham Estevez. That's a good fucking pick. That's not a bad pick.
Yeah, not at all, man. At
Loham.
All. Yeah.
I mean, he's only fought once this year, though.
Yeah.
But when he shows up,
Diego's been around long enough to know his credentials and what he's done and who he is.
My first round pick, Zacharys, 4-0 this year.
Yeah, yeah.
Three first round finishes in Fury, and then goes to Contender Series and like just submits the dude. Like, amazing.
How many fights did Jacoby have this year?
I didn't even look at Jacoby, man.
Did he fight three? Did he go 3-0?
I think he went 3-0 as well.
Yeah, two popped in my head.
I think he fought in December, so he might have fought twice. Yeah, and then
I was thinking it was twice.
But it hasn't been a year.
It may have been three.
Well, even
he's fought three times. It hasn't been 12 months since he signed with us.
Yeah.
Last week on our last podcast, I was talking about Cam Smotherman, who you have to consider that. He knocked out Peter Caballero. He got called up to Contender Series. Didn't go his way. And he comes back and he gets a knockout victory. Oh. But I mean, dude, how do you not mention? Okay, boom. See, how are you going to stump me, Mr. Promoter Man? Cody Steele.
Yeah.
All these guys are riding the hunt.
I might have to ride with Markel.
Hey, Markel.
Ooh, not a bad call.
4-0 this year.
Not a bad call.
What did Sawadi do this year?
I think he went 2-0.
He's a UFC fighter now, so we can't pick him.
Basil.
That's.
That's, I didn't even put Basil on the list.
That's Burmaster's criteria. If they get called up, they're not here anymore. You can't use them. I did that last
Jesse
year.
Butler.
I mean, listen.
I did that last year with Josh Van. He called me out on it.
Bypass had me send a list yesterday of guys that have been and like. I just forgot. I forgot about Basil and Jesse Butler.
As far as Fury guys, but that's great criteria. As far as Fury guys, like if you get called up and you succeed in the UFC. I mean, how are you not a shoo-in for Fighter of the Year?
If you haven't already sent in the email.
I already sent two different ones. I forgot about this guy.
Did you send the one that we just talked about? All right, I was going to say to send another one, but maybe give another one to push the other thing, too.
I just forgot.
Do the other one and push the other thing. Rich Burmaster speaking in gay porn code
push
over here.
Push that. You ever had your poo pushed in?
Yeah.
off the top of your head, like... Fight of the Year, pro. I've got mine.
Smother Caballero.
Smother
Caballero is mine.
That was good. That was fucking good, man.
Me and you got the same.
Same one, yeah. We got Diego.
Y'all are about it. I got to think about it.
We were in Galveston, Texas.
Yeah.
Main event.
Oh, yeah.
Macario and Alton, man.
Yes.
With the fucking crowd was insane.
I'm biased. My boy Cameron Smotherman. No. But that fight, oh my God, in Galveston, Texas, Josh Alton packed the house. His opponent fell off. That was somebody's pick for Fighter of the Year.
That was
somebody's pick for Fighter of the Year. I know who it was. It was somebody's pick for Fighter of the Year here at the table. But Gabe Macario stepped in and put on a war.
Dude.
With Josh Alton.
How about the...
Goddamn, go back and watch
Nico
that if you
and
have
Cody
it on
Steele
Fight
wasn't
Pass.
Bad up
Nico,
until the end.
I know. That's why I threw Cody Steele out there as a possibility for Fighter of the Year.
That's what I'm saying.
He took out a former Fury FC lightweight champion. His stock, you know, he's kind of gone through a little valley. And he's on the uptick. And he's looking to put his name back in that contention. And Cody Steele's like... not in front of me, not on my watch.
Man, I forgot. So Cody Steele went 3-0 this year. Yeah. Cody Steele went 3-0. The other fight that is getting a lot of mention is Tony Toro and Josh Aliman. Like that was an insane fight, but I think the crowd and the moment. It's going to be hard to beat Macario Alton.
What about Yadier and Aslam?
I totally forgot
insane.
About
that.
Insane.
Insane.
Yadier and Aslam.
That goes back to what we were talking about earlier. Like, we put on so many events. We put on so many great
it's
fights.
It's very easy to forget.
It's so easy to forget.
Don't forget your Hallerhead whiskey.
Don't forget this ever.
It's making me forget.
Ever. Don't ever forget this.
That Aswell fight that you just brought up. Oh, my God. How do you ignore that?
Yeah, man, like
so going back,
we're putting on so many events, man. Like okay, as
fucking
well,
runaway train over here is on you, baby. You ain't getting
hit him where you fit in.
Hit him, Wayne.
But Aswell has been off for the last few months, so it's easy to forget him because we're so active.
Yeah.
Dude, how do you ignore
right.
Aswell?
You say
fighter
that,
of the year,
but we just announced.
Eric with the 90s music. You got to hold it up to the mic so people can hear it. Hey, you had every opportunity to start the podcast without me.
Heck, you had every opportunity
to we make sure Wayne. I wasn't a factor.
Listen.
Boom, here I am. Here we go. Let's do it.
You cannot top the walking promo, Jay Wayne Leger.
Ever. You can never top
Cannot. Go ahead.
And he gave me like a double shot of Howler before he went live.
We did.
Hey, you need to catch up. So I did. Yeah, so here we are. Diego, you wanted to say something.
As a MMA fan, if you want to say that you're an MMA fan, you need to go to these shows.
Yeah.
You got to go to these shows. You have to. If not, you can't say that you are.
You're just a bullshit ass mark. You're a bullshit ass mark if you don't go to these local shows.
Listen,
especially when we put on so many.
All right, so hold on. So what do you do if there's like two shows in the same day on the same weekend and one's Fury and one's somebody else? Where do you go?
You better go to Fury or you're a bullshit ass mark.
Unless you're trying to be one of the commons, one of the peasants, then you can go somewhere else.
Yeah, you can go elsewhere.
Oh, you know, I was just being funny, but I forgot. Like there are people here locally who try to do that. Oops. No offense.
Whatever. Yeah.
And listen, if you got enough money, go to both.
Yeah.
If you got enough money to support both, go to both.
Hey,
and you know what? Let's sidebar. I remember back in the early days before, you know, the Fight Pass deal and all that, I remember like you used to like kind of collaborate with Mick, like, hey, are you running here? If you're going to run here, I won't always. Do here. You used to try to coordinate it so that you don't,
hard as both.
So you don't like exhaust the local fan base.
Right.
You know, it's not about like, oh, hey, we're going to run the same day as you. And if you buy a ticket to mine or buy a ticket to whatever happens. That doesn't do anything for anybody, especially the local fans in that market. So that's my rant. Go ahead.
Hey, speaking about, if you're listening to the podcast and you're a fan of Fury, take some time. Send us to @FuryFighting your list of who should be the pro or amateur fighter of the year, fighter of the year, knockout of the year, and sub of the year.
Amateur and pro.
And then we will be unleashing. We will be announcing this week who won our VIP table for 12-3.
The Fury VIP. I'm gonna use a little
generator and go through and let it pick a number, and I'll go through and scroll through the fans, and just like that, and I'll pick a fan, and someone's gonna get a VIP experience at Fury Fighting.
Woo!
They're gonna go backstage and take a shot with Rich and Wayne. And
backstage, dude,
that's a great.
How cool would that be?
That's fucking awesome.
I would love to be there.
hey, buddy, send it in, man. Put your phone in.
Okay. Backstage, maybe take a shot.
Yeah, maybe you'll get drawn. Cage.
Yeah, T-shirt. T-shirt. We're gonna make it happen. It's gonna be an awesome.
Audra will be back there. Maybe Amanda. Maybe the new girl. I can't remember her name off the top of my head. There you
Emily.
Go,
Emily.
Maybe Audra. Maybe Emily.
I got a lot of comments about our ring card girls this week. I was like, damn, all right.
I love the video Sheath did. The little promo thing.
Yeah.
That we love our Fury Fighting ring girls. Listen, man, we do more for our sponsors than anybody else does.
Without a doubt.
But they do more for us than they do for anybody else.
We are blessed.
You're holding a case of Howlerhead whiskey, so I mean, right, that right there.
We are blessed to have some of the best sponsors. And please support them, guys. Live Oak Vodka, OnlyFans, OnlyFans.com/FuryFighting, Howlerhead Whiskey, Kimura Tattoo Company, Sheath Underwear,
Space City Collective. If you're not a whiskey person, if that's your thing.
Why do I even go through the list of names for people just to cut it off? Like, what is the point of me reading as Diego hugs the vodka?
Right? Diego tries to rear naked choke the Live Oak Texas vodka.
So we've got, it's been a crazy year in 2023. Listen, 2024... going to be fucking insane.
We've got some announcements coming soon. We've got a few more podcasts before the end of the year.
Yeah.
Save some for later, right?
We'll you know, again, we'll recap 2023 as we get closer to the end of the year.
Amen.
I'm thinking we should start a little bit later in the day and do a podcast where we just go through a couple bottles of Howler and just talk and just hang out.
Maybe we should go to Real.
Yeah.
Do the podcast live from Real.
We'll hit up Ryan and see if we can go out there.
I've got another spot in mind too, a little closer to home. Where? I'm not gonna say here,
he's worried about getting back home.
Uber. I'll go to your house with Uber.
Actually,
you come to my house with Uber.
We'll go to Baker Street Pub. Just opened a new location, 249 in Spring Cypress. And I've got inside. I've got people there. We could do live podcasts from there. I'm sure. I haven't talked about this with them at all, but live. I was just there last night.
That's what I want
to
do. Live.
My people are there, so I mean I could talk to them. We could do live podcasts. Oh, yeah, dude.
I say we do both.
And it's a little closer.
Listen,
for
you
everybody
go out to Real Restaurant,
Diego.
You might run into
Have you been out to Real yet?
Bun B.
No, but I would love that too. We talked about that last year at some point.
Listen, hey, you go out to Real and you get them butter burgers. Yeah. Dog, let me tell you right now. I smack your mom right in the mouth for a butter burger. Dog. Like, that shit's delicious. Hey, speaking of smacking a mom's in the mouth, Keith Lee. You guys follow Keith Lee on TikTok? You don't know who I'm talking about?
Keith Lee, AEW superstar, I take
nope.
it? That's the only Keith Lee I know. I'm sorry.
So Keith Lee, brother of Kevin Lee, UFC fighter, also a fighter himself. I tried to sign him right before the pandemic. He's like an 8-2 155er out of Bellator.
Okay.
But he has millions of followers now on TikTok because he 15? Goes and does food.
What?
He goes and does food reviews across the nation, mainly in Vegas. He has millions of followers, and he has this thing where, man, when he goes to these restaurants, he basically saves these restaurants.
He's like the John Taffer of restaurants.
Except it's just him going and reviewing them, and if he has a good review, like the people post like how like amazing the crowds are afterwards. And I want to give a shout out, and I hope Keith Lee, if you're listening, we're gonna clip this out and send it to you. You got to go to Mike's Seafood.
I'm gonna have to look him up because when I hear Keith Lee, I think like, you know, 400-pound African American aging guy.
He is African American, but he's not. You got to go to Mike's Seafood and try out the amazing seafood there. Like, it's absolutely mind-boggling. And you've got the homie Mike Trin, Houston MMA OG, who started his empire in a trailer. Like, dude had a trailer on the side of the road selling live crawfish.
Previous guest on the podcast. I love Mike Trin's story. He has done so well for himself.
Mike Trin is one of my favorite.
He didn't wait on a government handout. Nope. He didn't wait on somebody to throw him a bone. He took the bull by the horns and built his empire from the ground up.
He's not going to
everything he has. He has earned.
He's not going to like this part, but Mike does a lot for the community and for people that he never talks about.
Yeah,
like he never publicly displays like all the help he does or the charitable work he does. And like, I know every year, man, he hands out fried turkeys and stuff to people and families that need it. And, you know, he's an absolute, you know, Houston legend. And I hope, Keith, if you're in town and you get to hear this, and we're going to tag every Derek Lewis, Jacob Silver, Adrian Yanez, everybody in the world. We're going to tag all of y'all. Let's get Keith Lee out to Mike's Seafood.
Ooh. That'd be cool.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. We'll go and he'll go out there. That. Yeah, I want to get him out there. I want. Not that Mike needs the business. Mike is absolutely like a savage when it comes to that.
He's killing it, but
he
needs
some recognition.
If Keith Lee is the pathway to like just really blowing shit up so that Mike's Seafood is in Las Vegas, Nevada.
Yeah.
Los Angeles, California, or wherever. Dude, man, we got to make that happen for Mike.
Hey, so we got big things coming up. Arian Young, Nate Richardson, Fury FC 84 to end the year with a bang.
Next week, baby.
We'll get a podcast in next week to go through that. But guys, it's been an absolutely crazy 2023. I'm excited to see this year end. It's going to be a killer ending again with these two cool shows, and then we start off 2024, and it just runs, man. It doesn't stop. You guys got anything else this week?
Subscribe to UFC Fight Pass.
Oh yeah.
Don't fucking check out all past Fury FC, Fury Challenger Series, Submission Hunter Pro events. You want to catch the guys' old fights?
Nate, any Fury FC event from like 44 to present.
I got an idea.
It's on there.
You ever thought about maybe a VIP, like year-long subscription?
Like massage pass?
No, like VIP subscription to Fury Fight Pass events.
Well, then they wouldn't buy a ticket and come out.
True. But I'm just saying.
Well, how would that work, Diego? let's indulge him.
Okay, go ahead.
This is a good idea. How would this work, Diego?
I was trying to get us out on studio time, but go ahead, Diego.
No, let's open this. We got 10 minutes.
We wouldn't get none of that money.
We have 1 minute because they got to be in the studio.
Yeah.
So
what's happening?
Hey, go ahead. Close this out.
Hey, Wayne, it's that time again, man. Let's get us out of here.
Man, fuck this bullshit.
Subscribe to the Fury Unleashed podcast, guys.
Hey, guys, apparently the time for talk is over. This has been Fury Unleashed.
And now, Houston, Texas, make some noise. Because the time for talk is over. It's time to unleash the fury.